We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as we crossed the state line, there was a big sign. It said, Nebraska, the good life. And I grew up in a city, so it was quite a transition to have our first home be in a town of Fullerton, Nebraska, 1,500 people, two very small grocery stores, two restaurants, I think, one place where you could buy clothes, no doctor, no health spa, no movie theaters, and the closest town of any size was 40 miles away. But it was a very good place to raise children. It was a safe place. People took care of each other. Appearances weren't as important. And hospitality was the norm. I don't think I could live there again. I think that I have become too happy with the values of the city, with the choices and with the possibility of buying things and going places and the comforts and the ease. And I wonder sometimes if I love that too much. I think that the gospel story this morning is Jesus challenging us to ask ourselves what really is the good life. There's quite a contrast between the way the disciples saw the situation in today's gospel and what I assume Jesus saw when he looked at that crowd. Because the disciples, when it got dark, said, you know, you need to send these people away to buy food because this is a deserted place. Which was an interesting thing to say when there were more than 5,000 people there. But I think what they were seeing was that as they looked out over that crowd, they didn't see anything that their world would call good or hopeful. So they said, you know, send them so that they could get food for themselves. I have to believe that when Jesus looked out at that crowd, he saw something different. Maybe he could see into their hearts, and he could see the love in the hearts of the people, many of whom had carried friends and children miles to bring them to Jesus for healing. The text says that Jesus had compassion on them. I imagine that he longed to give all these people the good life, to relieve them of their illnesses and their fears and their vices, and to let them experience what it was to be beloved children of God. He also wanted to feed them. So he told the disciples, you give them food. And the disciples said, we have nothing but just a little bit of food. Do you see the words that the disciples used? This is a deserted place. We have nothing. Contrast that with the outcome of that miracle where all were fed and they were filled and there was leftover food. You see, I think what's happening here is that the disciples are looking at this crowd through the eyes of the values of their world and of the two very oppressive institutions that shaped their values, that is, the Roman government and their own religious institution, both of which taught them that the good is when you have wealth and when you have power and when you have fame and when people look up to you because you have so much knowledge. And they looked at this group of people, and all they saw was a motley group of people who had a lot of need. What they didn't know or didn't believe was that Jesus' power was greater than that of those institutions, and that Jesus could bless even this motley crew so that they themselves could, with a little help from the disciples, could feed themselves. With the blessing of Jesus and help from the disciples, they would be fed. And sure enough, it happened. And actually, we remember that the bread and the fish did come from the crowd. When we drive through the poorest parts of St. Louis and we see boarded up houses We might feel the way the disciples did. This is a desert. There is no prosperity here. What if we could look at those places more like Jesus would? Maybe if we could believe that God has blessed these people too with strength, and that with some help and the blessing of God, they will heal themselves. Because, you know, when we drive through a place, we don't really see the people. We don't see the dedicated grandmother who brings her children or grandchildren to church every Sunday. We don't see the families that share what little they have with their extended family. We don't see the determined worker who spends hours on the bus just to get to his job. And we don't hear the words of thanksgiving to God for what they do have. Or when we look at our national budget, do we listen to our politicians on the right and the left when they say, we have nothing. We have so little to work with, folks. We don't know that we can feed people, that we can give them medical attention. We don't know that we can provide food stamps. We don't know that we can help people who are starving in Africa. Maybe we need to cut back. Or could we, should we, have the hope to believe that God gives these people strength too? And that with God's blessing and a little help from us, that people can help themselves. I saw a documentary that maybe some of you saw as well called A Place Worth Saving. And it was about the Central West End of St. Louis. And apparently, long ago, the Central West End was a thriving community, and then it started in decline. And by the 1970s, there were boarded-up houses, there was poverty, there was crime, and four, I believe, hospitals that had been located there moved west. Three hospitals, Barnes and Jewish, and they were separate at that time, and WashU Medical Center, decided they'd stay. And they would help rejuvenate the community, clean it up. Well, their first attempt was pretty dismal because they forgot to include the community. But the second time, they did it right, and one of the people involved said he walked the streets and he got to know people. And amid the poverty, he recognized that there was strength. There was a core of caring people in that community that looked so falling apart. And they built on that, and they made great strides, and the Central West End is a thriving community today, in great part because of that. But all the time that the hospitals were trying to figure out what to do, the churches were too. Should they stay, or should they move? Second Presbyterian took a vote. 511 members voted to stay. 500 voted to leave. Clearly, it split the congregation. Those who wanted to leave left. But Second Pres stayed, and they reached out and banded together with some of the other churches that stayed. And they made it a point not to focus on filling their pews, but to focus on getting involved in the community. And even recently, they were involved with human rights issues and when the Ferguson event happened. And we went to a lecture series they had on world hunger. Keynoter was the Bread for the World director, David Beckman. Some scholars look at this gospel story and they say this was a miracle. Some say, well, no, this was a story about sharing. Jesus shared some food with the people around him, and other people were inspired to open their baskets, and pretty soon everybody was filled. I choose to believe the miracle. But I think what's even more important is to believe that Jesus had the power then and has the power now to take a situation that, when we look at it through the eyes of the blindness of our world's values, looks bleak and like a desert, and he has the power to give life. And that's not to say that, you know, we just have to help ourselves, or that if we, this will be a perfect world if we just reach out a helping hand. No. It is to say that all of us have been created in the image of God, by a God who cares, cared enough to ask Jesus to die and then to take Jesus out of the desert of his death and raise him to life so that we could have a chance to live forgiven, to live emboldened, to live empowered to share and to love. In other words, so that we might have the opportunity to experience what is truly the good life. Amen.